Now to the Song of Penitence. Have mercy on me, O God, in your great goodness, according to the abundance of your compassion, blot out my offences. Wash me thoroughly from my wickedness and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my faults and my sin is ever before me. Against you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are justified in your sentence and righteous in your judgment. Cast me not away from your presence and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Give me again the joy of your salvation and sustain me with your gracious spirit. Then shall I teach your ways to the wicked and sinners shall return to you. Deliver me from my guilt, O God, the God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing of your righteousness. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen. So the night has passed, and the day lies open before us. Let us pray with one heart and one mind. As we rejoice in the gift of this new day, so may the light of your presence, O God, set our hearts on fire with love for you, now and forever. Amen. Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth be moved and though the mountains tremble at the heart of the sea, though the waters rage and swell, though the mountains quake at the towering seas. There is a river whose streams made glad the city of God, the holy place of the dwelling of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. Therefore, she shall not be removed. God shall help her at the break of day. The nations are in uproar and the kingdoms are shaken. But God utters his voice and the earth shall melt away. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Come and behold the works of the Lord. What destruction he has wrought upon the earth. He makes wars to cease in all the world. He shatters the bow and he snaps the spear. And he burns the chariots in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. God of Jacob. When the earth shakes and the nations are in uproar, speak and let the storm be still through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Glory to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen.
And the first reading is from Exodus chapter 17, verses 1 to 7. Water from the rock. From the wilderness of Sin, the whole congregation of the Israelites journeyed by stages, as the Lord commanded. They camped at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. The people quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." Moses said to them, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord?" But the people thirsted there for water. And the people complained against Moses and said, "Why did you bring us out of Egypt to kill us and our children and livestock with thirst?" So Moses cried out to the Lord, "What shall I do with this people? They are almost ready to stone me." The Lord said to Moses, "Go on ahead of the people, and take some of the elders of Israel with you. Take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile, and go. I will be standing there in front of you on the rock Horeb. Strike the rock, and water will come out of it, so that the people may drink. Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. He called the place Massa and Meribah, because the Israelites quarreled and tested the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, who has come to his people and set them free. He has raised up for us a mighty Saviour, born of the house of his servant David. Through his holy prophets, the God promised of old to save us from our enemies, from the hands of all that hate us, to show mercy to our ancestors, and to remember his holy covenant. This was the oath God swore to our father Abraham, to set us free from the hands of our enemies, free to worship him without fear, holy and righteous in his sight all the days of our life. And you, child, shall be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his way, to give his people knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of all their sins. In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us, to shine on those who dwell in darkness and the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen.
And the second reading is taken from John chapter 4, verses 5 to 42. Jesus and the woman of Samaria. So he came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. And Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria?" Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have no bucket, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us the well, and with his sons and his flocks drank from it?" Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give them will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come back." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you say the place where people must worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, The hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You will worship what you do not know. That you worship what you do not know. We worship what we know. The salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father seeks such as these to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. The woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will proclaim all things to us. Jesus said to her, I am he, the one who is speaking to you. Just then his disciples came. They were astonished that he was speaking with a woman. But no one said, what do you want? Or why are you speaking with her? Then the woman left her water jar and went back to the city. She said to the people, come see a man who told me everything I have ever done. He cannot be the Messiah, can he? They left the city and ran away to him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, Rabbi, eat something. But he said to them, I have food to eat that you do not know about. So the disciples said one to another, surely no one has brought him something to eat. Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to complete his work. Do not say, 4 months more, then comes the harvest. But I tell you, look around you and see how the fields are ripe for harvesting. The reaper is already receiving wages and is gathering fruit for eternal life, so that the sower and reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap for that which you did not labor. Others have labored and you have entered into their labor. Many Samaritans from that city believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I have ever done. So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, it is no longer because of what you said that we believe, but we have heard for ourselves. And we know that this is truly the Saviour of the world. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Jackie. So that's a very, very long passage. Thank you for reading it about the woman at the well. John 4, verses 5 to 42, as Jackie said, it's a beautiful example. This is of Jesus revealing who he was, going after the marginalized, going to Samaria rather than going around it like the pious Jews would have. He was talking not just to a Samaritan, but to a Samaritan woman. His exploring gently with this woman, bringing about truth and change, is wonderful to behold. St. Augustine of Hippo said this, our hearts are restless until they find rest in you. Our hearts are restless until they find rest in you. Imagine this woman who may have been worried, and what does Jesus do? He engages with her, and yes, he calls out what the situation that this woman is in with her husband's. But she doesn't run away and she isn't shamed. She stays and she is amazed and listens to what he is saying. And he in turn listens to her. She then exchanges and changes the subject and asks the question, how is it that you Jews insist that Jerusalem is the only place of worship while we claim that it's here on the mountain where we worship? So Jesus said to her, Believe me, dear woman, there will be a time when it matters not whether you worship God on the mountain or in Jerusalem. True worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeks such as these to worship him. And hear this, God is spirit, and we must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, what does that mean to you, I wonder? We talked last month in some of our in our services about when we feel close to God. I did a cluster service at Washfield, at Calvary recently. We talked about where we feel close to God. And there were many different places where people felt close to him. You know, when they went for a walk, the beach, when they sang their worship, they felt close to God. Someone else said when they were up on a mountaintop, they felt close to God. And here Jesus is highlighting the importance of attitude of worship, not location, location, location. It is the how we worship that is important to him. So the woman, she rushes back down the hill to tell the other Samaritans about Jesus's prophetic ability and that he could be the Messiah. And she wanted them all to meet Jesus and experience what she had found. And meanwhile, the disciples, they catch up and the conversation merges into food and harvesting. And they offer Jesus some food, but he's not hungry. And he said, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me." Jesus was talking about his work sustaining him. Now, I wonder, do you feel the same when you tell people about Jesus and his healing ministry and his sustaining power? Do you feel the same when you serve people in the same way that Jesus did, talking to the marginalized, listening, noticing what others need, providing good gifts to those that need it? That card of encouragement, that timely visit, that meal, or even that phone call. There is great joy and wholeness when doing the will of God. It breaks out in your face, and others notice it, and they notice that you're full of the Spirit of God, and that it is your Father in heaven where your help comes from. Jesus tells us, doesn't he, to look around us and that it's a team approach. You know, somebody's sowing, another person's reaping. "I send you," he said, "to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored and you have entered into that labor." We are in this spirit-led journey together, aren't we? Thank goodness. And we can help each other along the way. So meanwhile, whilst Jesus was telling the disciples all this information, the woman was being really brave, no longer isolated. She went and told the Samaritans what had happened to her. Many believed in Jesus because of what she said, and others rushed up the mountain to see for themselves. And they asked Jesus, they begged him, they said, "Come and stay with us, Jesus." And he did. He stayed with them for 2 days. And afterwards, many more believed in him and said, "We have heard for ourselves. We know that this truly is the Savior of the world." So this reading is a journey, isn't it? Set out in a few verses, well, quite a few verses, a journey of experience, a journey of exploration, a journey of reflection, and a journey of transformation for this woman and for all of the Samaritans that came and knew and saw who Jesus was. Now, at Theological College, we studied a theory of Laurie Green's reflective cycle, and it's a dynamic cycle, looking at what's happening in a given situation. And it's a spiritual journey, and it's very similar to what happened to this lady. We all have an experience. We have an encountering of God with Jesus, and we are seen by Jesus. We then explore. We then ask Jesus, how can this be? What's happening? How do you know that? And he asks us questions too, doesn't he, when we're in our prayer time. You know, we battle. We're not battle. That's a strong word. We're in exchange of conversation, asking, wondering why something's happened to us or happening. And then we explore. And then we reflect. So we reflect upon the difficulties that are holding us back. Or why is this situation happening to us? We spend a lot of time in reflection. And then we respond. We respond. We feel different. We respond. We are different. We become different, which takes us to a new place of transformation, just like this woman. And many of us dwell in these different phases at any one time in our own spiritual journey, which, of course, lasts a lifetime. Our hearts are restless until they rest in you. We are seen. We are known. We are loved. And we are free. Amen.
Amen. Let us pray. Lord, we are drawn to your well. Seek the water of eternal life. Refresh us with your word. Surround us with your love. Fill us to overflowing with your spirit, the water of life, that we may never be thirsty. Hear us, gracious Father, as we bring our requests to you. God of wisdom, pray for those who thirst for knowledge. Bless researchers seeking to find ways to eliminate disease, to bring healing and hope to sufferers and their families. God of mercy, we pray for those who thirst for justice. May they be conscientious in pursuing the truth, that justice may be applied to all who seek it. God of peace, we pray for those who thirst for peace. We remember all those who are suffering as a result of warfare and civil strife. We especially commend to you the people of Ukraine in their desire to live peacefully in their own nation. Quench their thirst with your clean water. God of compassion, we pray for those who thirst for healing and restoration. We hold before you all aid workers, especially those working alongside the victims of the earthquake in Turkey and Syria. Give them wisdom, insight, and strength to meet the needs of the day and the vision to build for the future. Quench their thirst with your living water. God of love, we pray for those who thirst for your presence, your healing touch, or your protection. We pray for Jack, Brenda, Olivia, Cynthia, Mary, Tony, Donald, Diana, Roman, Ruth, Mike, Bob, Keith, Janice, Georgie, Reg, Joy, Graham, Peter, and Rosemary. We pray for those who care for them. Please give them the patience and strength to carry on, and may the assurance of your presence bring them hope. And we also remember today the family and friends of those who have died, Lorna England and Edna Rogers. Quench their thirst with your living water. May all your people gathered here receive the thirst-quenching power of your living water, that we may be renewed, restored, and reinvigorated for our walk with you. The woman by the well recognises Jesus for who he really is. May we see today that you know us, Lord. May we hear that you save us. May we be amazed by your love and acceptance, realising that you have always known us. Praise you. We pray all this in the name of Jesus, who offers living water to all. Amen.
Almighty God, whose most dear Son went up not to joy, but first he suffered pain, and entered not into glory before he was crucified, mercifully grant that we, walking in the way of the cross, may find it none other than the way of life and peace, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Trusting in the compassion of God, let us pray with confidence, as our Saviour has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. May God, our Redeemer, show us compassion and love. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. Great. Well, it's lovely to see you all.
Today. And you.
Thank you, Claire.
Thank you.
Have a good week, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye, Helen. Have a good week, everyone.
Bye, everyone. Thank you. Bye.